On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by international best-selling author Hemant Sunim, telling us what to do when things don't go your way.
When we are, you know, very young and have a first love, and the first love did not work out, we feel as though this is the end of the world. However, we learn that is not the case. We move on. We find some other people. We begin to see that when things don't go your way, maybe it's not the end.
As ever, we're available on all podcast platforms.
Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Absolutely delighted to be joined from Canada, Mayo's biggest fan, probably the one that got away from County Mayo. It's Kevin Kilbane. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much. Yeah, yeah. It's been a bad week, tough week anyway, but you know, we've swallowed many of these weeks in the past, so it's good.
Well, that's exactly why we got you on. Like, did you know that Philly hated Mayo? Like, that's
don't
why he said
listen
he said
to this,
sure.
Kevin. He's spinning it already here.
Make sure we get Kevin on this week.
I know. I can honestly, and the thing is, every time I speak to the Dublin lads, you know, I'd be friendly enough with one or two of the boys and some of Philly's ex-teammates. They're all great with me. Oh, we love Mayo. They all tell me how great Mayo is. Half the team's families from Mayo, so yeah. You know, we produced a great Dublin team, so that's how it worked, you know.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm half Antrim, and there's Kerry blood and there's Mayo blood, so the Dubs can never really say we're pure blood, so we'll give that to the country people, we'll say.
Yeah, you know. I know. I always remember my grandfather was from Longford, from my mum's side. And he always used to say, look, you know, the Dubs, no, they were going back into the 40s and 50s here. You know, he used to dislike the Dubs for that reason. He'd go, they take all our country boys, all our best players, and they're all going up for jobs, and they're all going up. And it's the way it is, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
Dublin's the big pull for so many of the kids.
Let's start with your love for GAA. Where did it start for you?
Oh, it's my dad, obviously. My father. My dad passed away now, just the back end of 2015. And I won't go into the history of Mayo now because I think everyone's well aware of the story now. But my dad was born in September 1951, a week after Mayo won the All-Ireland.
Oh, God.
But he lived his whole life without ever seeing Mayo win an All-Ireland. So you can imagine how that was in our house growing up.
Yeah.
Especially, obviously, over the last 10 or 15 years, the way that it's gone. But no, when I was a kid, I mean, we were never able to pick up the games, were we, in England when I was growing up? So we'd always have to go to Manchester. I grew up in Preston. So my uncle on my mum's side, say, who married my auntie, he was a Mayo man as well. So him and my dad and my other uncles, we'd always drive over to Manchester for All Ireland semis and finals whenever Mayo reached them, because there's been enough of them over the years, as you well know. So that was pretty much it. And then when I retired, I lived in Dublin for 5 or 6 years as it was. So that it was good for me that I was able to get across back home to Acle a lot as well. And I was able to get to Castlebar. I was able to get up to Monaghan, obviously to Croker, a good few times to watch a lot of the games. So I used to go to a lot of the games. I used to go to the league games. I used to get to as many as I could across the season for probably a 4 or 5 year period. So it was great for me when I finished and I retired that I was able to get to see more games in person, because it wasn't really easy for me to do that while I was playing.
Kev, let's think about 2012 to 2017, fever pitch, Mayo, Dublin. Mayo were really probably on the cusp, the closer than they'll ever be. What did you think of Philly McMahon when you watched these games?
Oh, an animal of a man. No, I know, genuinely, I mean, I knew a little bit of Philly's background, and I read his book, and, you know, Philly and I got in contact a good few years ago via social media and things like that. So we bounced one or two messages back and forth here and there. But you can only admire, and it's a genuine admiration, and everyone, no matter how much we hated Dublin over the years for what they did to Mayo and all the other sides, we had total admiration for the machine that they became, for the talent that they had. And the ways that they found to win games. Because, you know, when you put yourself up on a pedestal the way that the pedestal that Dublin were on for such a long time, they were there to be shot at, and they still found ways to beat teams no matter how many different tactics were set up in front of them. So it was incredible to watch that Dublin side. It really was. And I know we were close on a number of occasions, probably should have, could have, on maybe any given day, should have done a little bit better on maybe a couple of those finals. But it was certainly great to see a great team. That's what I maybe look back at, and that's my memory over the last 10 or 15 years, yeah.
As much as you were a fan of Mayo and GAA in general, Kevin, I'm a big Toffee. So I'm a big Everton fan. Yeah, my family are all Everton fans. It was bred into me at a young age. So I was a fan of Kevin. You've heard the Zinedine Kilbane name mentioned a few times, but I was a big fan of Kevin when he was at Everton. And when we started engaging in social media chatting to each other, I was like,
fantasy stuff.
An Everton player, you know, lovely, deadly.
It is my club, and that's the way that I view it now. Everton is my club, and it's the first result I look out for, even maybe ahead of Celtic, who I grew up as a Celtic fan, but Everton's my team, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same. Obviously, my dad was a big Celtic fan, West Belfast connection there, but yeah, Celtic and Everton, like, so even if you look at over my dad's and my brother's headstone, it's a Celtic crest and an Everton crest, really? And a Dublin one in the middle.
Wow.
You know, so.
Oh, amazing, yeah, amazing.
But I think I might have the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Who was the craziest Everton player you played with?
Oh, craziest Everton player. Oh, there was a few characters in our team. There's probably only one really sticks. It's Graveson. Graveson,
what a player.
I can tell you now, he was... Well, I mean, you don't play for Real Madrid if you're a bad player, let's be honest. But he, not many even consider Tommy the player that he was. Tommy was just, I couldn't believe how good he was when I first signed for Everton. Honestly, I was like, who's this guy here? Like, he was known as a bit of a hard man, Philly.
Yeah.
But no, he wasn't a hard man at all. He couldn't tackle. He would probably shy out of tackles a little bit. He wouldn't necessarily go in where it really hurted. Yeah. It really hurt. Sorry, and he had cars, or Lee cars. He would do all that donkey work for him, but he just used to roam the pitch. We had to let him go on a pitch, just go and do your thing, and he was unbelievable player, but mad as a. I mean, one of the first time I signed for Everton in, it would have been the back end of August. It was the first transfer window actually the first time the transfer window came in, so. They had obviously the firework night was over in England. So the what would that be in? I'm trying to think of the date now. October? No, November. November 5th, obviously. So Tommy was used to fire rockets across the training ground out of a drain pipe. He'd have the rockets on his shoulder like a rocket launcher firing these.
Love it.
That was maybe one of my first experience with Tommy. You know, he was wired a bit differently from the rest of us. Yeah,
amazing, and obviously a Celtic legend as well.
Yeah,
great. He was a fabulous player. Honest to God, unbelievable. I don't think he probably Celtic saw the best of him.
Yeah.
But honest to God, what a player!
I used to love the way he passed the ball. I'm actually, believe it or not, Kevin, I'm playing soccer at the minute. I'm playing for Talca Rovers at the
really?
Minute.
Yeah, what position is man?
Six. I'm playing in the six.
Really?
So, but I always loved Tommy Graveson, the way he passed the ball. Yeah. Like, he'd be able to pass the ball a long distance that you'd probably see another player that'd have to, the ball would come up off the ground a little bit. He just had this kind of body shape when he kicked the ball, just stuck to the ground.
Yeah.
Let's go back to your career.
Yes, that's what I want to hear more about.
Yeah. Oh, I've had a few head cases, but I'm probably the worst out of them all.
Yeah, well, are you a tidy six? Are you a Graveson six?
I was six in soccer. So when I was 14, I actually... I went over to Nottingham Forest on trials.
I read your book. I read your book when you had trials at Forest. And it was that a tough decision for you? Did you have a
decision
for that? I think you did.
Yeah, no. Do you know what happened? Like, so I was playing Gaelic football at the time as well as soccer. But Paddy Christie, who played for Dublin, I was Dublin captain, he was my coach. So the best thing he ever said to me before I went over to Forest was, hope you make it. But if you don't worry. When you come back here, if you ever want to just play Gaelic football, would be. And at that stage, like particularly in Dublin, like there was such competition between sports that there would be in sports coaches that would have said, "No, come and play football," and the other one would play. Come on, we play Gaelic, like, you know. And he didn't. He was so smart. Like, so, when I came back from Forest, there was a couple of clubs here in Ireland looking for me to sign for them. at age 15, 16, once you come back, like, yeah, and they've seen you on trials, a couple of the top clubs want to sign you in Premier, this was, DDSL. And Aston Villa actually were in, there was a scout watching me from Aston Villa.
My team.
Yeah, your team. So, but then I do you know what happened was, one of my teammates from Ballymun Kickhams, Davey Bourne, he came into school one day with a full kit out of Adidas gear with Ballymun Kickhams logos on it. And I was like, how are you getting looked after so well? Like, I'm just at the coming back from England on trial.
Amazing.
And I have to buy my own pair of shorts from the club over here. Like, and that's Paddy Christie for you. So did you ever show the non-Irish players that played with Everton or Preston or any other clubs you were with the game itself? And did you get reaction from that?
My brother and I would always get out with the ball and hit it in the street and things like that when we were young boys. But we were never really able to play it to a decent level. And both my brother and I were decent athletes, so we would have been half decent at the game as it was. So that's the thing that we both missed out on. We both probably feel that we would have loved to have played the game, certainly competitive, and been able to, as you say, maybe show one or two others the skill set for it.
I could definitely see you with the Jets up the line, back or wing forward.
I'd have loved it. Yeah, 100%. There's one or two positions where you feel as though that you could have done it, you know. But when you watch the game, we played in Liam Miller's charity game a few years ago. Do you remember we played down in Cork. So they kept. We played in Croker, obviously, for under Steve Staunton when we played the Wales game when they were redeveloping Lansdowne. And the pitch was brought in 20 yards at least either side. So we knew the size on the GAA pitch. We knew how big the Gaelic pitches were. So when we played for Liam's charity game down there, down in Cork, they kept the pitch as wide as the GAA pitch. They went, we want to be close to the fans. So anyway, the pitch is as wide. It was like 100 metres wide. That's the normal size of the length of our pitch. Yeah. We're like, some of the lads, I think like Paul Scholes was playing for Man United, and Scholes was like trying to hit his diagonal balls and things. He couldn't reach like the 80. He was trying all sorts of trying to hit these passes, and we were like, just keep it short. Don't go hitting these diagonal balls because we've no chance. So we realise how big that pitch is on the ground. It's the ground that you boys have to cover, yeah.
It's incredible because I get asked a lot, even when I was working the lads with Bowles, they were asking, what sort of distance, what's the difference in terms of the physical components of the game and demands of the game?
What distance would you boys cover in the game? That's interesting. I've never known that one, actually.
So because we play like 70 odd minutes, it was when originally, like, but you'd cover, like, for me as a fullback, the highest I would have ever covered was about 10K.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, just to put that in perspective,
it's 20 minutes. It's 20 minutes less.
It's less, So it's not. So the soccer boys would be going, oh, well, we do 12. Yeah. And I'm like, we do it in less time. But also, if you think about it, if you put a soccer pitch in Crow Park, it's nearly like box to box or around where the D is to the opposite D. And you think about 10K is 100 laps of that.
Yeah.
So imagine saying to somebody, in 60 minutes, do 100 laps, play football, have multi-directional movements and get hit and all this stuff. It's actually, when you look at it, it's an incredible sport that way. Whereas soccer, when I'm playing soccer, it's more structured because of offside. You have a job to do structurally. And for you to get high speed running, you'd have to hit over 40 metres.
Yeah.
You'd have to play where you were playing, Kevin, on the wing, possibly, to get your high speed running up, you know. Whereas in GA, because the pitch is so long, no offside, you can get your high speed running up, which is what we would have been measured off. You know, if you go over 5.5 metres per second, everything after that distance-wise is clocked as high speed running.
Yeah.
And that's really...
I'll get boring and a bit technical here, but what was the high intensity distance that you would have covered in games as well? Because our judge would have been between what, at 1 and 2,000. If you were hitting 2,000 or 2K per game high intensity running, that was considered very, very good.
Yeah, we'd be a little bit less.
Would have been a very good one.
We would be either 5.5, and then that could go up to maybe just under 6 meters per second to clock the distance of high speed run. But I would, for me as a full back, I would struggle. Full forward line, full back line would struggle to get high speed running because of the distance and the way we're running. It's just short, sharp. Middle toward players would be over, I'd say, 1,000 metres to 1,500 metres because they're running in the middle of the pitch, you know. So it depends on position. We used to train, right? And we play a match and the full back line and the full forward line would never hit the numbers the middle toward would hit.
Yeah.
And Jim Gavin would always say to us, you didn't hit you at high speed. And we're like, yeah, we kind of know that because we're playing the same position. Yeah, top it up, off you go. And
really?
You'd never hit it, like, but he'd always, the S&C would always say, yeah, Jim says you have to top it up.
But that's like, that's Paddy Andrews' fault, you're marketing the training. Yeah. Like,
yeah. And I, honest to God, what was very funny was like, I'd run up the pitch and then, let's say I was marking Paddy Andrews, yeah. Paddy Andrews would start running a little bit quicker down the pitch. And I'm like, what is this fella doing? Like, is he trying to tire me out? And then I figured out he's trying to get his high speed running up on the way back. But he'd be wrecked when he got back up into the forward line, you know? So, yeah, that's sports science for you.
Yeah.
Kevin, before you go, every week we're getting a GAA player or a GAA fan like yourself to fill out their Breaking Ball Ultimate Team card. It's basically a FIFA card. So we want you to fill out your position. We want you to tell us then your rating out of 100 in these attributes, and we'll just go through them with you. So first of all, the main thing, we've given you 98 out of 100. That's our honest assessment, really, of Kevin Kilbam was a footballer. Let's be honest, you are a Centurion international professional footballer, so it's probably likely you would be pretty handy at this sport. But we'll get your average on each individual attribute as we go along. So first off, what is your position going to be?
I'd say I'd have to be on the wing. I'd say wing back. I think that's where I would be. I'd love to think of myself as a, like, you know, a corner forward and things like this, but I'd be a runner. I'd have to be a runner coming from deeper. That's the way that I would have to play. I think the fitness would have been decent for that. So yeah, I'd be.
He has the
jets. I'd say that.
Yeah, he's definitely a middle toward player for me.
Yeah, I think 10 years ago he would have been wing forward, but now he has to be wing back coming onto the ball.
Wing back, like a Jack McCaffrey up the pitch, wing. That's and even better. A left foot.
I wouldn't mind being half decent like him anyway. He's a player.
Yeah, another wing back. That's what Mayo were crying out for, Kevin. So I think it's a nice start for you. Pace out of 100. What are you giving yourself?
Maybe 75. 75.
Okay.
The big one. Shooting. Like, sure. You're left footed, so you're bound to have a bit of class about you.
I was always a great shooter, and I'm not saying I was always a very good shooter when I was a young lad. And then all of a sudden, I kind of copped on a little bit that I couldn't be getting myself forward a little bit too much. I had to just maybe
defend a bit,
tuck in the team, do a little bit of everything. So I had a decent left foot on me. Again, I'd be 70. I'd say 70, 70. Yeah, somewhere like that.
You have to remember, you're probably doing this in the eyes of you playing football. It's a bit easier to kick the ball over the bar with a second option.
I'd fancy my chances anyway. The one thing I'll say this now, and when I watch you guys from the 45, and I say you should be better from the 45. That's the way that I look at it sometimes. I think that, because that'd be something that I'd be very confident of hitting a ball at 45. And I know it's a heavier ball, and I know it's a bit different, but I'd be confident of banging a ball 45. I know the wind takes into account as well, but I'd be confident of doing that 8 times out of 10. I would be, honestly.
Passing, Kevin.
Passing. Probably a bit below those levels. 60 then. 60.
We have a lot of making up to do to get up to 98 here.
I know.
Skill out of 100. GA now.
GA skill.
There's some good lads. There's some good players that I've seen. Over the years. Your boy Dermot. I used to love watching Dermot.
Yeah, what a player.
What a player he was.
So balanced.
I'll go 70.
70.
I think these are going to be your big ones, though. We've got defending, and we've got physicality.
I think I'd be good in physicality. I was always strong. I was a strong runner. I'd be able to deal with it physically. Yeah. Give me a year GAA training, and I'd be up there with the boys.
Listen, I'll get the contract signed for Ballymun. Get you over one season with the Mun, and you might be like Stephen Cluxton going back to the Mayo team or the Dubs.
You want me to give you a number?
Yeah, I won't accept anything below 90 for this.
All right, well, I say 90 for that one.
Yeah,
very good.
I'd be okay with that.
Defending out of 100 very quickly.
Oh, I wasn't a great defender. I played left back, but I wasn't a great defender. That'd probably be worst, actually. I'd be 55, 60, somewhere like
you
that.
Can use your hands.
Who wants to be a defender? Let's be honest.
Yeah, I wasn't a great defender. I didn't work on it enough as I was a kid, and I was kind of thrown into the position. Go on, 65. I'd give myself. I'd be kind to myself.
Kevin, that is absolutely brilliant. Thanks very much for joining us all the way from Canada.
Thanks very much, Kevin.
Thanks, guys. Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Thanks for having me.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.